I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, today's epistle has a wonderful passage in part of it, and it's often referred to as the Philippians Christ hymn. And a lot of biblical scholars have spent a lot of time thinking about it because many believe it was a hymn that predated even Paul himself. And if it did, then it would mean that these little verses are one of the earliest recorded witnesses to Christian belief. Completely apart from its historical importance, many of us just love it because it's beautiful. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if some of you don't know it by heart. And whenever I read this passage, I usually burst out into song that I was taught to sing as a little Presbyterian that consists of the very last verses of our whole passage. It goes, "He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." Sometimes when we get to these passages, we get so entranced by the lovely hymn that we forget to focus on just what Paul is telling us. You see, this passage isn't just about the exaltation of Christ and how every tongue should confess Him Lord of all. That is important, of course, but there's more to it than that. You see, this passage is also about us. It's about you and me, and about how we exalt Christ when we do the hard work of forming a community of faith together. Now, Paul starts out with a command, and it's not a command to one person. It's a command to the whole community. Now, remember, Paul's in prison, maybe at Ephesus, maybe at Rome. We don't know, and in the long run, it doesn't really matter where. The church at Philippi has sent him a donation, money, maybe clothing, maybe food. Paul sends back this letter as a thank you note, as news, and as encouragement for the church. Epaphroditus, the man carrying the letter, would have read it out to everyone in the midst of the church service. Paul's commanding them all, just as he's commanding us, be of the same mind. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being of full accord and of one mind. And that's what Paul's up to here. He's making an appeal to unity. Reading these words now, with what an election on our doorstep, coronavirus, and everything else that's going on in 2020, we could sure use to hear what he has to say. Be of one mind. It's easy to say, harder to do. So does Paul have any advice, any direction, any example of what this might look like? Well, he does. For Paul, the answer is simple. Turn your eyes to Jesus. Do what he did. The Christ hymn isn't about exaltation. It's about humility. It's about how far our God would go to prove his love for us. Taking on the form of a slave, being obedient even unto death. Obedience not just to any death, but to a disgraceful and shameful death. That's humility. That's love. In our families, in our communities, we get all caught up in games about power and status. Who's better than who? Who deserves what more than them? But Paul says, turn your eyes to Jesus. You think you have it all? Take a look at the one who made it all, Paul tells us. Take a good hard look at what he did for you, and then go and do likewise. But take heart, you're not doing it alone. And I mean that in two different ways. After his appeal to Jesus, Paul says another line that's becoming famous, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, just as we sometimes miss the point of the Christ hymn, this one can get a little twisted too. You could take this to mean that each one of us should head off in our own little corner and figure out our own way to salvation. And there was a guy who tried to do that once. Way back in the 4th century, a man named Basil went out into the desert to be a hermit because he thought that that was the best way to live a holy life. There, away from temptations and distractions, he'd be able to worship God uninterrupted and to save his own soul by himself. It didn't take very long before he came back. In his brief career as a hermit, Basil learned something priceless. We are called to the love of God and the love of neighbor. He returned confident that you can't be a Christian by yourself. It takes neighbors to love neighbors. Basil left a mark as St. Basil the Great, one of the doctors of the Eastern Church, and one of the greatest bishops of the Church anywhere, known not just for his writings, but also for his charity, his care, and his concern for the poor of his diocese. Basil learned what Paul had to teach: work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. You see, in Greek, the you here is plural. To say it like we used to say it in Atlanta, Paul's saying, all y'all need to get together. You can't do it on your own. You need a community. You need this community. And the working out word here isn't a thinking word either. It's not something that happens in your head. It's a doing word. It's a moving your body, joining your neighbors, doing actual actions and words. Be of the same mind. Have the same love. And that love is the love of Jesus, who embraced humility, who put up with the things he didn't deserve to put up with and didn't have to put up with. But he did it for love. And that's the mind. That's the one mind we need to have among us. A mind where loving our neighbors leads us to make choices not based in our own pride and in our own self-interest, but in love. So how do we do it? How do we get the mind? Well, throughout the passage, Paul gives us hints: humility, obedience, love, unity. These are holy habits. The mind of Christ doesn't appear in one day. It has to be nurtured. It has to be formed. The working out of our salvation is a journey, a process, a cultivation. When my girls were really little, this is the time of year, right around the start of school, that they would always celebrate Johnny Appleseed. And an apple does seem to be the perfect metaphor for what we're talking about. You and I were saved when the water of baptism hits our heads, and that's where it all starts. In baptism, our old self dies in the water, and our new self is resurrected as a true member of the body of Christ. But just being a member of the body of Christ doesn't mean we yet share the mind of Christ. It takes practice. It takes cultivation. There's a whole apple tree hiding inside of the smallest seed. Yes, it's an apple tree, all right, but it hasn't yet expressed its potential. It's an apple tree, but there's also a process waiting to unfold. That seed has to be planted. It has to be nurtured. It should be pruned and trained and fertilized. Even under watchful care, it may be 5 years before apples start appearing. But that's what we're after with both apples and Christians: good fruit. Good fruit takes time. For apples, it's hastened along by a careful care. For Christians, it's hastened along by holy habits. The members of the body of Christ have to be formed into the mind of Christ. And that's a process that has to unfold. It takes cultivation. It takes pruning. It takes holy habits. Devotion is a holy habit. Devotion involves a variety of things. It means taking time to open up your Bible and immerse yourself in Scripture. It means taking time to pray. It means taking time to think about your life and your priorities and to orient them towards God and God's vision of a creation ordered by peace and justice and love. Reconciliation is another holy habit. Reconciliation means taking time to understand the broken places in our relationships and to do the work to fix them. Now, sometimes that means taking a look at ourselves and our actions to see where we've fallen short as we relate to our spouses and partners, our children and our friends and coworkers. There are things that we do, conscious or not, that damage these relationships. Reconciliation means acknowledging these sins and repenting, turning away from these destructive acts and turning back towards love. But reconciliation is also in our own forgiving, in letting go of hatred or grudges that we hold against those who have harmed us, consciously or unconsciously. But Paul has got one more word for us. You see, we're not in this by ourselves. As individuals and as a community, we're not by ourselves, because that wind at our backs, that breeze that whisks us on our way, is nothing less than the breath of the Holy Spirit blowing through our lives. For it is God who it is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God is in our midst here, among us, binding us ever closer to himself and to one another if we just open our hearts to Him, seek His face, follow His footstep in holy habits. Be of the same mind. Cultivate unity. Do it here. Cultivate holy habits. Keep your eyes on Jesus and learn from Him what it looks like to really love. And embrace grace. God yearns to be at work in you. Open up your hearts to Him. He will teach you to will, to work, and to love.